From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's Thursday, the 11th day of March 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, officials from Brazil are holding the United States accountable for international trade, law and order. Oh, I couldn't help myself there. Sorry about that. And the Senate has approved a bill that includes the biodiesel tax credit. Dave Dickey will be here with these and other stories shortly. And then, have you priced out GRIP for federal crop insurance? Gary Schnitke will tell us that Illinois farmers might find it to be an enticing deal with an average $13 an acre drop from last year to this one. And at the end of the half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on a Thursday afternoon, futures from the soft red winter wheat pit were lower, down 2.25 in the nearby March at 468.5, July at 491.5, down 3, July hard red in Kansas City at $5.25, down 1.5 on the day. March corn futures unchanged, 355.5 the settlement price, the May at 365.25, down 0.25, July 376.25, a quarter lower, September unchanged at 385.5. And December futures, 395.25, up 0.5 cent. March soybean futures, 925.5, 26.5 cents lower. May at 930.5, down 27.5. July at 939, down 26.5. And the August at 937.75, down 24.75. September futures at 925.5, down 21.75. And the November contract from the bean pit today finished that contract at 935.25. It was down 18.75 on the afternoon. March bean meal on the day finished at 249.60, down 9.10. March bean oil at 39.82, down 87 for the afternoon. April live cattle, a nickel lower at 93.82.5. March feeders at 101.92.5, down 7.5 cents on the day. The April futures there at 105.10, that's up 7.5. April lean hogs at $71.87.5, down 67.5. And the May futures at 77.25. 80 cents lower. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, April contract settlement price today at $82.11 a barrel, up 2 cents. Ethanol trading the Aprils at 160.4, down 0.1. The natural gas at 444.5, that's down 11.5 cents. The RBOB at 227.5. 1.4 cents lower in the heating oil at 211.6, just about unchanged. Gold futures at $1,108, up 20 cents on the day. The Dow at 10,565 is down just about 2 points. The dollar at 80.32 is down 0.12, and the CRB at 273.39 is down 1.23 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from our own Mike Sola. He says tonight in northern Illinois and northern and eastern Indiana should be cloudy. Some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy. Lows will range from 38 in west central Illinois to 48 in southeastern Indiana. And then tomorrow in the north and mostly cloudy skies and central sections cloudy. Rain arriving primarily during the afternoon. In the south, cloudy, periods of rain. Highs tomorrow from the 50s in northwestern Illinois to near Lake Michigan, around 60 in the southeastern parts of Indiana. The extended forecast says mild weather will continue today with highs ranging from the 50s north to near 70s in the south. Widespread showers and thunderstorms should push to the north and the east out of the two-state area. A few scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms, though, will pop up yet this afternoon and evening. Another area of widespread rain will come in from the south tomorrow and cover Illinois and Indiana tomorrow night. And Saturday, and scattered showers will linger on Sunday early next week. Temperatures will cool more seasonably through early next week, that coming after tomorrow night, of course. More on the agriculture weather when we get to the bottom of the hour here on Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Rob Meyerhofer in Morris at 815-941-3708. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
It's a Thursday afternoon. Be sure to visit us online when you can at WILLAG.org. We'll post our all-day Ag Outlook meeting there in its entirety so that you can listen to it again or for the first time if you didn't get a chance to go over on Tuesday of this past week, like Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois did. He's on the line with us to talk about that and the futures markets that happened in Chicago today. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Dan, you've been traveling a lot. We were last night in Lincoln in Logan County, and you were all over the place, I think, during the day yesterday. You've seen a lot of farmers this week.
I have, and quite a bit through the winter months. We still have a couple good hard weeks yet of meetings, but then things wind down pretty quickly.
All right. One of the things we talked about on Tuesday, and we talked a little bit about last night, and probably one of the reasons maybe the bean settled back today down 26.5 cents was that many producers feel like lots of folks will be planting more soybeans. Part of that is that the field conditions were and remain pretty rough across much of the Midwest. Feeling like more beans will be planted and actually having that happen are two different things. What are your thoughts on that issue?
Well, I think we're a shade early. I know we're, you know, a third of the way through March already, but we'll have to kind of see what the rest of March brings. I mean, the weather forecasts or the weather models that I've been looking at here do suggest that we are, you know, trying to warm things up, dry things out, and I think this is the time of year that you see those kind of things unfold. Going into the spring equinox, I think is at least a sign that maybe we are looking at something more normal as far as a weather pattern goes. I'm not a weather forecaster by no means, but what I see and what I feel out into the countryside, I think one might want to be a little more optimistic of a more normal type planting condition than what we've experienced the last couple of years, especially here in the Eastern Corn Belt.
What did you make of the trade today in Chicago? Why did we move sharply lower in the soybean pit?
Well, the soybeans is still, South America is a key driving supply force there. I mean, the crop is big, and they're taking over the export market. You can kind of see that with this week's export sales. We went backwards with some cancellations, so we had no net increase in overall export commitment. I think that's a sure sign that the South American crop now is the main focus of the world trade, and demand here in the United States is going to be pretty skinny. You know, that's not to say that we haven't had good demand, but it says that demand that we've had in export demand in soybeans is all front-loaded. And now we're on the downside of that front-loaded demand scenario, and we're just not going to have the news around to kind of be supportive to the marketplace. About the only thing left here is, of course, spring weather pattern, and you know, if we kind of have an early spring, I think that would be somewhat supportive to beans because farmers do have that default mode to plant corn if they can. If it's kind of a wet spring, well, then it would probably be bearish soybeans. But no, I think overall, all three commodities, corn, soybeans, and wheat are just reflecting the large world supplies and the uncompetitiveness that the U.S. has in the corn export market and the wheat export market in here, Todd.
Does the day trade in the composite, the electronic and the open outcry together bother you on the pit today? Because you've got an open that was above yesterday's close, so it opened higher, but it finished pretty sharply lower. It was kind of an ugly technical thing to look at, though we didn't have a higher than we did yesterday.
No. Well, the only thing is somewhat, when you look at that bean chart, you have to be quite concerned that we're not heading sharply lower. I mean, today's action is not good at all, making a new low for the corrective decline that we've had here, basically, since we made that spike high here about 2.5 weeks ago up here at 965. So the inability of, you know, yesterday's advance to kind of hold in here or to generate some follow-through above some of these longer-term moving averages, I think, is kind of a negative omen. And I think the door is open now to go on down below the early February low here on these May beans of 9/11, and gradually work our way down, depending upon how the hedge pressures come into play in South America. I think a lot of technicians looking at the pattern and whatnot will probably be looking at something at the $8 level.
Will corn follow the soybeans lower?
We're in the planting season, and I think, you know, in the planting season, they could move opposite a little bit, depending upon what time, you know, if we have some weather adversities. But if you look at the corn market and kind of apply the same technical methodology that this last 3-4 weeks of strength was nothing more than kind of a flagging formation or an upward congestion in a longer-term bull market. You basically subtract, try to say that this next leg down is going to be somewhat equal to this first leg from the January crop report high before we had the report at 9.35 down to 3.59, which was like 76 cents. You subtract 76 cents from this 392 area, which was our most recent rally high on this sideways to higher climb, kind of tees up what objectives would point at is something down around 316 on the May corn is kind of what they're looking at. So we'll have to kind of see. I think short term, though, the corn market does look like, to me, it wants to try to stabilize, try to maybe regain some of what we've lost here over the past week and a half or so. It's all about weather at this point in time. Now, I know that the March crop report's coming at us, or that end of March report's coming at us. So there'll be some speculation as far as acres and whatnot. But it's pretty much of a growing season twist in here to find any kind of support in this market.
Dan, thanks so much for being with us.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Thursday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. Yep. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hey, if you get a chance, please do visit our website. The address is willag.org. There you can download our podcast, listen to them off of the website, sign up for our weekend newsletter. And it all happens for free at WILLAG.org. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with all the ag news for the day.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In agricultural news, Brazil officials say that the United States must comply with a World Trade Organization ruling on U.S. cotton subsidies to uphold international law and order. Brazil detailed on Monday a list of 102 U.S. goods that will be subject to import tariffs within 30 days unless both countries can reach an agreement to settle a long-standing dispute over U.S. cotton aid considered illegal by the World Trade Organization. U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk says that the U.S. still hopes to strike a deal, but if it can't, it will have to try to persuade Congress to change the U.S. cotton program to satisfy Brazil's concerns. Brazil is expected to publish by March 23rd a separate list worth an additional $238 million in annual cross-retaliation penalties. The U.S. Senate voted Wednesday to approve a nearly $150 billion bill that extends dozens of tax credits, including the $1 per gallon biodiesel tax credit. It also includes a $1.5 billion agriculture disaster aid package. The bill provides a retroactive one-year extension of the biodiesel excise tax credit. The bill also includes a $1.5 billion disaster aid package for the 2009 crop year. Farmers would be eligible if they suffered a crop disaster or are located in counties declared disaster areas that had at least one crop suffer a 5% yield or quality loss due to the disaster. Payments would equal up to 90% of the farmer's direct payments for 2009. Producers who did not have crop insurance would still be eligible for the disaster aid, but would be required to buy crop insurance in 2010. The top U.S. trade official expressed doubt on Tuesday that negotiators could reach a deal this year in long-running world trade talk disputes, despite a goal set by President Barack Obama and other leaders. In remarks before the National Press Club, U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk says, quote, "Well, considering that we have tried and failed three consecutive years, if past is prologue, I don't know that I would put too much stock in it." But Kirk also said that he did not believe countries should give up efforts to finish the eight-year-old round of talks. Canada has confirmed its 17th case of mad cow disease, a finding that will delay any upgrade to its international risk status by 1 year. The animal was born in February of 2004. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey's Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. And here's a website you should visit as it pertains to crop insurance, FarmDoc at www.farmdoc.illinois.edu. Check out all the tools and Excel spreadsheets and even the podcast about crop insurance there. Gary Schnitke and I recorded one this morning. I've got it for you now. It talks all about GRIP in the state of Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason for the Farm Doc podcast. On the line with us to talk about his latest FEFO is Gary Schnitke, Farm Management Specialist and Farm Doc team member. That latest FEFO titled GRIP Premiums in 2010. Gary Schnitke, thanks so much for being with us. Let's start with the map that comes along with the text of this. What are we seeing on the map? Lots of 40s and 39s and 61s and they're all premiums, but what does it tell you?
Well, we're showing on this map GRIP HR premiums at the 90% coverage level and 100% protection level, so the maximum premiums, and they vary dramatically across the state. The highest premium is in the over $60 in range. And there's a lot of premiums that are in the $30 range. So we see, you know, $30 premiums up to over $60 premiums for this GRIP product this year.
Now, is it possible, for instance, that there are places like McLean County at $61 there in the middle of the state, and then next to it you have Champaign and DeWitt, which are at $39, and I suppose I've heard as low as $37 at this point?
Yeah, you could get lower premiums if you lower the protection level. But yeah, McLean County comes in at $61 an acre, which seems very high for McLean County, and the counties right next to it, $39 for DeWitt, $39 for Logan, Tazewell, $38, and Woodford, $38. So it's kind of hard to explain that McLean County outlier. there for that premium.
Well, theoretically, there are two items that explain some of the difference at the county level products.
Yep. If you look across the state, there should be two things that cause GRIP premiums to vary. One is the correlation with the between the county yield and price changes, which you don't really think would vary a lot across the state. It's likely to be lower in southern Illinois, but not a lot. And the other is yield variability. And the counties with more yield variability will tend to have higher premiums. But in certain cases, there seems to be some outliers for that case.
Well, then, what's sort of the bottom line on it if you live in either a low GRIP county or a high GRIP county?
And just let me just give you an example. If you're in Logan County, $39 will be your premium. McLean County, right next, $61. Producers in Logan County will likely find GRIP HR more advantageous than McLean County farmers. The other thing I would say is that look at GRIP premiums this year for 2010, because in some cases they're $20 or so lower than they were last year.
And what is the difference between the coverages between that and what you would get with what, CRC?
CRC, if you bought a 85% coverage level, which would be the max, and let's enterprise units would be in the $20 range. 80% would be CRC RA would be in the $14-$15 range, and that will depend on farm level factors. So there will be a range to those premiums.
Anything that we didn't get to that you wanted to make sure we talked about today?
Nope, just look at GRIP, and your decision is coming up by next Monday.
Yeah, and they still can get to the FarmDoc website and check out all the tools, which include what types of things?
The tools include a premium calculator, so you can calculate premiums for your individual farm situation, a payout estimator in which we estimate payments under these alternative policies for an example county or example farm in each county. And we also have a crop insurance decision tool, which is a fast spreadsheet. You can download a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet, download it to your PC, and you can look at premiums, what these products have done in the past, and it also has a what-if tool.
All right. Thanks much.
Thank you, Todd.
Gary Schnitke is a member of the FarmDoc team, a farm management specialist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can read his FEFO on GRIP at the FarmDoc website. The address is www.farmdoc.illinois.edu. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
We would like to thank these sponsors who helped support the recent WILL 20th Annual All-Day Ag Outlook Meeting and all of our agricultural programs on air and online: Strategic Farm Marketing, Stuart Peterson, ADM, Risk Management Commodities, and Pioneer Seeds. Thank you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. When we return, unfortunately, we won't be able to talk with Pete Levitt. He'll be away from his office this afternoon, but we do have some interesting little feature stories for you on the commercialization of publicly developed soybean varieties that have aphid resistance. So stay with us, and we'll bring that to you in just a couple of minutes here on Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Governor Pat Quinn visited a Springfield middle school today to make his case for an income tax increase. He says that without the additional tax money, education spending will have to be cut by $1.3 billion. The Democratic governor called on lawmakers in his budget address yesterday to promptly pass a 1 percentage point tax increase so the state doesn't go backward when it comes to education. But Republicans generally oppose an increase, and many Democrats are reluctant to raise taxes in an election year. Democratic Senate candidate Alexi Janulis is looking to turn the tables on Republican Mark Kirk by going on the offensive about banking regulation. At a news conference today, Janulis criticized Kirk's legislative record on banking regulation. He says Kirk voted to bail out Wall Street firms but opposed attempts at reform. A Kirk campaign spokesman hasn't returned messages seeking comment. Junulius has been pummeled in the media with questions about the performance of his family's Chicago bank. University of Illinois interim president Stanley Eikenberry has floated the idea of an accelerated degree program to save students and the university money. Eikenberry says if students used advanced placement courses and summer sessions to graduate in 3 to 3.5 years instead of 4, it could make the best use of underutilized U of I facilities. Eikenberry says similar programs have already been set up at other schools. Western Illinois University President Al Goldfarb is telling university administrators to cut spending next year by 3.5% to prepare for upcoming cuts in state funding. If the budget is passed, Western state appropriation for the next fiscal year would be cut by $3.7 million to $56.2 million. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to The Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media on a Thursday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up, publicly funded soybean breeding programs right here on this campus have developed and released several new aphid-resistant varieties of bean. I'll have a report on their commercialization.
Support for The Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Land-grant universities have long had a hand in the development of new crop varieties. Soybeans, particularly, were a mainstay of the system. There are many public varieties of soybeans. Some are very old names that many farmers will recognize. Williams, for instance, here in the Midwest. Because these soybean varieties were developed in the public sector, farmers could hold them back from one year to the next for seed. That brown bag or bin run system has faded in the last couple of decades, but the development of public varieties has not, says Brian Deers. He's a soybean plant breeder at the University of Illinois and has released several new varieties over recent years.
The last couple of years, we've released several varieties that we're pretty excited about. These varieties are being released not publicly, but they're being released through some seed companies. What we're excited about is that these varieties have SCN resistance. We also have varieties with SDS resistance as well as soybean aphid resistance.
Deers and his colleagues at Illinois have done a great deal of work looking for genetic resistance to the soybean aphid as well as SCN, a soybean cyst nematode, and SDS, a sudden death syndrome. The source of the aphid resistance comes from one of those old public varieties. It was originally developed in the southern U.S. Beyond the genetic codes behind the new releases, what really differentiates them from the public varieties of the past is that these beans are not really public varieties. Seed companies will sell them as branded products. The only way for a farmer or someone else to know it was developed, for instance, at Illinois, will be to know to look for the genetic makeup. The Illinois soybean aphid resistance is imparted by a genetic code called RAG1, or RAG1, says Deers.
Yeah, so one thing you could look at is what gene the variety has. So the two genes that we have been working on are called RAG1 and RAG2, or RAG1 and RAG2. So I guess you could ask about what gene your variety has for aphid resistance.
RAG1 is in the grow-out process now and likely available for limited use. RAG2 won't be around for a couple of years. Deer says while these varieties won't be public releases, it should be possible to hold them back for bin-run plantings. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. Remember, crop production or crop insurance forms are due in on the 15th of March. That's next Monday. If you need help making decisions, please do visit the website for FarmDoc. It's at farmdoc.illinois.edu. There you can download Excel spreadsheets. You can reuse the calculators online. You can decide which types of crop insurance might be most useful on your particular farm. It's all at farmdoc.illinois.edu. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.